Prescott to throw. Looks right, waits on the cross, batted in the air and incomplete. Intended for Amari Cooper and broken up by Desmond Trufant. Snap spot. Try is away from Bryant, and of course, it is good. Third and seven, play clock down to three. 2x2 look, snap to Ryan. Matt on a drop, in trouble. Got to get away, cannot. And that is DeMarcus Lawrence getting Ryan in the backfield. Snap to Dak, wants to throw. Falcons trying to gather around. Prescott in the pack, and down he goes. And Vic Beasley dropped him back at the 18-yard line. It's a loss of 11. Prescott from the gun. Elliott leaks out to the left. Prescott being flushed out. Beasley got him. Second sack of Prescott, and they both belong to Adairsville, Georgia's Vic Beasley. Snap spot. Try from Bryant is away, and Matt Bryant makes it and gives Atlanta the lead. Prescott's got Elliott with him. He'll keep the football, and Prescott scores the Cowboy touchdown. Around a little play fake to Smith, quick throw. Ridley couldn't hang on to it. Van Der Esch has got his second interception, coming back down the near sideline, and Ito Smith is able to get him dropped inside the 35. They're going to hand the ball to Elliott. He'll have the first down inside the 10. 5, touchdown Ezekiel Elliott. Falcons want to cut it loose. Deep shot Julio Jones, and he caught it! Touchdown Atlanta! Snap, spot, kick is away, and it is good. Ball game over, and Dallas wins on the final snap. Cowboys 22, Falcons 19.
Whether it's the ones either side of it, how it goes, but when there's a a field goal or a touchdown to close it out, those are hardest as a competitor. Call it last shot, last play, whatever it comes down to. Those ones definitely sting the most, and because you're going into it, you're ready to go and make a game-winning play, and when it goes the other way, those are hard.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the biggest Bulldog tailgate in Georgia, the Dog Days Championship Tailgate Party, December 1st. Join us as we celebrate from noon to 4 at the Tabernacle.
DeAndre Swift, 84 yards.
The SEC plays here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We had to, fight back, in the third quarter, finding our way down, had a turnover and allowed a score, then to, fight back to get it back to a tie. That's been difficult for us because at the end, we've certainly been at some games that have come down to near the end or the last play, and so we've got to find a way to close these games out.
$25 off a set of four new tires at Kauffman Tire. And you need new tires, get $25 off. Kauffman's only scored, of course, in one quarter yesterday. $25 off a set of four new tires at Kauffman Tire. Our retailers at KauffmanTire.com, and Kauffman Tire is the official tire retailer of the Atlanta Falcons. Now, the biggest question in the morning, Hugh, what now?
Well, I'm still one that is a little bit optimistic, and I know I'm about to get ate alive when I say this, but since 1990, there have been seven teams that have started 4-5 and made it to the playoffs. Seven. Atlanta could potentially be the eighth. Daryl's looking at me like, dude, I ain't trying to hear that. Listen, can I just say this as a disclaimer, because I'm getting heat already on my Twitter feed. Listen, I respect everybody's opinion about this here Atlanta Falcons and the way that what you see. But you have to understand, people respect. I've been through these. So I look at it a little different. Not saying that my perspective is better than yours. I'm not saying that. But I used to play the game. And that's not me saying that because I play the game, my opinion is better than yours. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is my mentality is a little different than yours. I understand that you're mad. I understand that you're upset and you see things differently than the way that I do. But it can happen. Now, do I really realistically think it's going to happen? No, because I saw the Saints play. I saw the Saints just trounce the Eagles yesterday. Trounced them. Now, I don't think it's going to happen, but stranger things have happened in the NFL, and this team matches up well with the Saints. I mean, you look at the last game that they played, they didn't look like they look now. Now, granted, they're a different team now, but anything is possible. So don't get mad at me, folks, because you're mad because I'm being optimistic. That's all I'm trying to say. That's it. I understand that you're upset and you want me to get up here and fire Coach Quinn and all. I'm not going to do that because that's not the way that I think. That's not how I think. Now, if you feel that way, that's fine. You can feel that way. I don't feel that way. I don't feel that way. And, you know, we were in there talking to friends of mine and they want to point out coaching and all that other stuff. That's fine. I don't watch the game that way. I mean, I know you like to talk about the fact that, like, some of the decisions that were made and all this other stuff. I get that. I get that. That's fine. That's not the way that I watch the game. It's different for me. I understand you're upset. We're going to let you vent. But as a former player, I'm looking at 4-5 and kind of trying to piece together what Coach Quinn is saying to this team. They're not going to give up. They're not going to give up. They still got a lot of football left to play. Right, so you just got to go through it.
So did you see – all right, so seven teams have made it from 4-5. What about 4-6? Did you see a stat for that by any chance?
I didn't see the stat for that, John.
Yeah.
But there's still hope for them. Now, well, granted.
Yeah.
Ooh, boy, that game Thursday night.
Here's the only hope that I think I see. If you're looking for a path, all right, here's your path. I said, and I stand by it, if you come out of the Arizona Cardinals game at 7-7 with games at Carolina, and you saw Carolina lose yesterday to Detroit, and at Tampa, and you saw Tampa lose yesterday to the Giants, if you're 7-7 after the Arizona Cardinal game, even though Carolina and Tampa are on the road, at least you have a chance. At 7-7 after the Arizona game, you're probably still alive. That means you got to go 3-1 to get there. Now 3-1 means you got to probably win Thursday night, and then you got to find a way. If you presume that you can maybe beat Arizona at home, you would think. Then you got to win either at Green Bay or
John,
against Baltimore.
Let me tell you right now. I understand what you do, partner.
Pat,
stop that. Stop that.
I was just saying.
Stop it.
I'm just saying if you are looking for a path.
Listen. Stop it. Your biggest concern right now is the Saints, and how are you going to beat them? Because they look unstoppable.
I know they look unstoppable. I don't want to talk about them.
Don't be mad at me. I'm just saying. Boy, that what I talked about a few weeks ago looked like it's starting to come. It's starting to look like it's a little bit clear, though.
You know what? You want it's fine. Bring him here, okay?
Why do I feel so much hostility towards me this morning?
Bring him here. I will be the world's biggest hawk for the other team. Go Chiefs, go. Go Steel Curtain. Hell, I'll root for Tom Brady.
I ain't rooting for Tom Brady.
I'm rooting for Tom Brady. Wait, if it's those two, Tom Brady is my guy.
I tell you what, that'd be a tough one. The Saints and the Patriots in the Super Bowl?
Oh, go Patriots, go.
Ooh, no, I don't think I can do this.
Yeah, that would have to happen. So we're asking you, the Falcons dropped to 4-6 on the season following Sunday's loss. How much of a chance do you give them to make the postseason now? This is our poll right now at 9-9 the game on our Twitter. Right? How much of a chance do you give them? You can say legit chance, win out. That's got 4% of the vote. Slim chance, need help. That's got 26% of the vote so far. And no chance, look to draft, has 70% of the vote so far. It's not that they don't have any chance. I was trying to figure out. Look, I can't sit here and wallow. If I wallow, all I do is get angrier.
That's what you're doing.
I don't understand this team. I don't get this team. You know, what was this tweet I got? You know, I don't know what you're looking at I don't even have it in front of me. Somebody slamming me this morning for saying, how can you go on the radio and say this team has talent? Because the team does have talent. That's what's so look, if the Falcons were a bad team, I mean, if they were just a bad team and they didn't have any talent, I'd be sitting here going, well, you know what? It's sort of like the Hawks. The Hawks are okay. They're 3-13. You know, they've won 11. They're just not a very good team right now. They don't have a whole lot of talent. But the Falcons do have talent.
I think that's where the frustration lies for the fans right now, John, is that they know this team has talent offensively, and they're not executing. Julio came up with some clutch plays yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
Some big-time plays yesterday.
Yeah, he did. So did Muhammad Sanu.
Matt Ryan, yeah, he did too. No disrespect to Muhammad. Matt Ryan was under assault yesterday for the most part, and he stood tall in the pocket. It wasn't enough. That's when you needed your defense to play just a little bit better, John Freeman.
Yeah, man, Ryan Schrader got worked.
Like a shift. like
this. And Ryan Schrader got worked.
Like a shift.
And then what's with Calvin Ridley's hands? Calvin, we love you, but dude, we got to work on them hands. You got to go out with Justin Hardy and catch bricks in the offseason, dude. Man.
See, Calvin, like this is the tough part. This is when my former football side comes out, is because a few weeks ago we were talking about how great Calvin really is. I mean, it's like anything. Some people have better days than others, and you got to think this is Calvin Ridley's rookie year, so he's gonna hit a wall. Like he hits a wall. He probably hit a wall. Not saying that he did, but you know, he's getting ready to go into his second season. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So it's probably a little bit of that, but it's one of those things, man, where you got to kind of look. I guess I look at it from a different perspective. Yesterday, the biggest thing that jumped out to me was the talent. The talent that the Dallas Cowboys had as opposed to the talent that the Falcons had, especially on that the defensive side of the ball. Because, you know, you heard about Dallas's secondary and how everybody was banged up in their day, but that front four, they brought that thigh out.
Well, Leighton Vander Esch completed.
Yeah, Leighton Vander Esch. Like, you know what's funny? I honestly thought that was the guy the Falcons were going to draft. That's the guy that I thought they were going to get. And ironically, Cowboys fans were upset when they drafted Leighton Vander Esch, eight-man football player. He can play. He can definitely play. And he came up with some big plays yesterday. But, again, when it was time to move the crowd and make some things happen, you know who – Ezekiel Elliott got the rock, mm-hmm. and he made it happen. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest difference to me. You know, you talk about guys tackling. It was a couple times out. I will admit that it looked like guys out there defensively, they ain't want none of that. They ain't want none of that Ezekiel. They ain't want none of that Ezekiel. It was guys out there that – I know that sometimes you're not in the position to make the tackle, and he made you look bad. Like Zeke put some cats on his back, on their back yesterday.
Yeah, and that's all, you know. But I have a hard time laying this at the feet of the defense. I mean, they held Dallas to 22, and it's again, they held Cleveland. The offense has not done its part. The offense has scored 3 touchdowns in 2 games. That's it. 3 touchdowns in 2 games, and one of those really didn't even count. I mean, it was so late in the game, it was pointless. All right, it counted, but it was pointless. I mean, The offense has not – they went into the red zone and went into – everybody getting all mad about Dan Quinn punting when he could have tried a 54-yard field goal, and I get that. You know, I mean, if Matt Bryant couldn't hit it from 54, why didn't you have Giorgio out there? I mean, okay, fine. But it was the fact that you even had to kick field goals. I mean, they were moving it. You know, they would get inside the 40. Every drive, Hugh, they would drive down, they'd get inside the 40, and it would stall.
Yeah, because that defense played well in the 40. They played well when it got close like that. They were bend but don't break mentality defense. Yeah, I mean, it was one of those games. It was a 10-yard fight yesterday for the Falcons all day yesterday. No question about that.
You can go to our Facebook and weigh in and vent. You'll get a chance to light up the phones and vent a little bit later in the program. And, of course, you can go vote on our poll on the Twitter whether or not it's too late now at 929 The Game and comment there where you can also vent. Next, we'll try and lighten up the holiday weekend with a little Wendy's Zone. With John and Hugh on a Falcons Monday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
At the horn, the ball game's over.
Taking a look back at the Falcons game with Falcons Monday.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, if you're all up in your feels, Falcons fans, like most of us are this morning, you can go to our Twitter and Facebook page. We do have that poll going on. The Atlanta Falcons dropping to 4-6 on the season following yesterday's loss. So asking you how much of a chance do you give them to make the postseason now? So if you go to Facebook right now, 75% of people, now 76% of people saying they're giving them no chance. They're looking towards the draft, and only 24% giving them a slim chance, and plenty of comments already on Facebook.
You know, it's funny because, Hugh, when we start talking about the draft, and I don't know about your Twitter yesterday, it's like, tank for a top 5 pick. Folks, I got news for you. If you think, understand something, if the Falcons don't make the playoffs, and of course it doesn't look very good, you're looking at like 10 or 11. You're not looking at like no 2 or 3 pick here, okay?
Correct.
You're looking at 10, 11, somewhere in there.
As of right now. I mean, especially
right now it's 13.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just I think people think
the way the NFC is shaping up this year, it's not good. I mean, there's
it's a rough year.
I mean, the Vikings lost yesterday. You're still only a game and a half out of playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but I tell you, the insurmountable task is Thursday. I mean, let's just call it what it is. It's the Saints look like a juggernaut right now.
They look like a juggernaut,
yeah,
no
they
question.
They dominated the Eagles yesterday. I mean,
yeah, they Carson dominated is being mild.
Ugh. Yeah, they got – yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
You want to?
Any comments?
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm not. You know, I'm not in my Eagles fields. I mean, it is what it is. I saw that coming. I saw that one coming a mile away. For real.
Well, let's do kind of like a hot prank since this is Thanksgiving week, the holiday week. I know some people have already started to travel out of town for their Thanksgiving plans. Well, if you want to do a prank on your mom this Thanksgiving week, and I've seen it all over social media. It's asking your mom advice on how to cook their Thanksgiving turkey in the microwave. Let me just read you some of the responses that have come in. So you just send a text message to your mom saying, hey, how do I cook a 25-pound turkey in the microwave? I've seen it at least on my Facebook pages. Here's one of the responses. You don't put a bleep bleep turkey in the microwave. I'm leaving to take grandpa to the doctor's. Don't call me. You're stressing me out. The second response, it's all I've ever wished for, a kid who is famous for cooking a rubbery salmonella-ridden carcass in an idiot microwave. Another one, don't ever get married. And three, you should be in charge of napkins or wine or something. So the responses that I've seen on my friends' Facebook pages and Twitter pages have been epic. So if you want to do the Thanksgiving prank, that is the viral prank going on this season.
Well, first off, a 25-pound turkey wouldn't fit in a microwave.
Yeah, that's
well, depends what kind of microwave that's you have. Depends on what kind of microwave.
What do you have? Like microwave is dead. That's a
you mean an industrial size microwave, the one that they have in like hotels.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends. But that's what you text
a 25-pound turkey. Okay.
Oh yeah. Speaking of that, I want to give a shout out to all the grandmas, well, all the matriarchs of the family.
Yes.
That are starting their Thanksgiving meal preparation today.
Oh yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that are starting their meal preparation today.
Shout out to my mama.
Yeah. Oh, so yes. they're getting it in. So
Maven you know, started today. I know you're right, Hugh.
Yeah. What are you starting with today?
I'm guessing prepping like side dishes maybe?
The dressing. You got to start with the dressing. Like, what usually goes first? Like you got to season the meat and everything and you usually let it kind of sit.
Getting them greens together.
Yeah, you got to get the greens together. And the macaroni and cheese, because you cook it for like a tribe.
You're cooking for a tribe.
Yes. So you got to make sure everything. So they're going to start cooking today. And like a lot of people are going to start, or tonight.
Well, then you have to line up the dishes just right, because you're going to have to put certain things in the oven at certain times. So I know like the timing for each side dish.
Yeah,
and then the turkey, you got to time it out just right. So I know
it's like an order sheet like at the Waffle House, you know?
Correct. I mean,
what we're going to cook first and second and third.
You know, tape that up to the hood of the, above the, because you got to have that sheet there.
Unless you got a microwave, an industrial size microwave, you can.
Which you can put a 25-pound turkey in,
Well, the Los Angeles Chargers keep losing the fight for L.A. despite actually playing pretty well on the field. The Bolts welcome easily their worst crowd of the season. I don't know if you guys saw pictures from yesterday at the StubHub Center on Sunday during their Week 11 matchup against the Denver Broncos. So they entered the game 7-2, a six-game winning streak. They still couldn't pack out the StubHub Center, not even with all Broncos fans. So all you could see in the stands were Broncos jerseys and empty seats. So Denver was 3-6 entering the game, yet their fans showed up. So if you look closely at any of the photos from social media, it's just crazy to see the amount of empty seats at the StubHub Center. I don't know how long the Chargers can really last in L.A. at this point.
And you know what the sad part about it
it's
is?
It's sad.
The Chargers are 7-3.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
7-3.
I mean, they lost yesterday, but still 7-3 coming in with a six-game winning streak.
Yeah, and then like
that people would show up.
You know, it's funny, and I remember I laughed when somebody had the Chargers potentially going to the Super Bowl or being in the playoffs. 7-3 and they can't sell out. That's terrible.
Yeah,
that's
a 27,000 seat stadium. 27,000.
Yeah. That's terrible. Yeah.
It'll be better when they move to Inglewood, though.
Inglewood?
I think it'll be a whole lot better once they move to
Inglewood. And they're not going anywhere. Anybody who thinks they're going someplace, I mean, they're just not. I mean, the NFL has locked them. They have a 20-year agreement. 20 years.
But it's just, I mean, but they're not even, they can't even attract their fans.
Don't nobody want to go to Carson?
It's opposing fans.
No, they're going to have to make new fans because their fans are never going to go to their games because their fans are still down in San Diego.
Yeah.
You have to understand the dynamic here. I mean, this is San Diego hates L.A. with a passion.
With a passion.
With a passion.
I mean, It's rough.
We hate them back.
It is rough. Well, it's been a particularly wild week in the NBA. You had the Utah Jazz losing by 50 points. The Warriors kind of showing their first signs of a potential implosion. And Hassan Whiteside providing the most unpredictable storyline yet. I don't know if you guys have seen this story yet. Well, it was reported this week by Andy Slater that the Heat center had an assault rifle worth $50,000 stolen from his vehicle in July. So police found that the theft occurred almost immediately after Whiteside bought the gun from a store in Miami. He put the assault rifle, an M16, in his Rolls Royce, but left the car unlocked and went back into the store. So this is via Newsweek. Quote, Coral Gables police launched an investigation, determined that the gun was not stolen at the University of Miami, as Whiteside believed. While he left his $400,000 Rolls Royce unlocked, surveillance videos examined by police showed nobody else approached the vehicle while it was parked on campus. So he eventually provided a telling clue to solve the case, told police that he had left that assault rifle unattended, and he told the Miami Herald this week, I should have secured it better, and I'm glad it was recovered. It won't happen again. It is now locked in a safe, and I only use it at the gun range.
Wait a minute, he got the gun back?
Yes, they recovered it.
Thank God.
This week, so he had to address the incident on Thursday because it came back around. But this whole thing happened back in July.
This is an M16.
Oh no, I know what. Yeah, I know what AR is, but
It's been a really strange time in the NBA to start the season. Look, not gonna lie, there's some really bizarre stories.
I know the Miami Heat nor the NBA can possibly fine him for this, but they should. That's just flat-out stupidity.
Yeah, I'm thinking that. I was thinking that, too. And you leaving I don't know anybody who drives a car of that caliber.
And leave it open.
That forgets. Like, that's the part of the story that sounds kind of weird to me. Luckily, they recovered the weapon. But come on, man.
Is there any wonder why they want to get rid of him? They gave him a lot of money to play basketball for them, and they want to get rid of him in the worst way. And I don't blame for any other team in the NBA for not wanting to have anything to do with this dude.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
How you really feel, AT?
AR.
No, M16.
M16. Do you imagine the damage this thing could have done to somebody?
Yes, or I wouldn't even leave my Rolls Royce unlocked if there were headphones in it. I'm not leaving my car unlocked of that value.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
What are you doing with it anyway?
Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, go to the gun range and shoot it off and whatever.
You said whatever.
Just a weird time. Just a weird time in the NBA. Welcome to the start of the season.
Keep it at the gun range, in the lock at the gun range, if that's where you're going to use it. You know, buy the M16, take it over the range.
Well, don't go back into the store. Go home with it.
Yeah, don't leave it in your car. Falcons and the reaction to what happened against the Cowboys. Dave Archer with Matt Ryan, 1st and 10. Falcons Monday brought to you by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. We'll have Arch and Dave and that interview for you next on this Falcons Monday with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.